Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nain, your host for this episode, and today we'll be discussing the Civil War box office results so far. Questionable quick fire questions, a beloved segment from James's podcast, and our top 10 DreamWorks animation films. So that's James right there. He just waved to you before, and we might as well jump straight into this. So sit back, don't open a cold one yet, wait till the DreamWorks, and then that's when you open your cold one, and let's get into it. All right, Civil War has taken the world by storm, both negatively and positively. And right now it is a gem for A24. It is the highest opening A24 film ever, with 10.7 million on the opening day, including preview screenings, and it's predicted to make around $26 million. I believe the highest grossing weekend has been Hereditary, and it's on track to absolutely smash it. So, James, what do you take from this?
Well, it's great for A24. You know, they said that they want to get into, like, bigger films that kind of make a little bit more money. So I guess this is a starting point from them. And it makes complete sense. It's their highest budgeted movie by a decent amount. I think it was budgeted at $50 million. And the last one was Bo is Afraid at $35 million. Except for with Bo is Afraid, it made $11 million worldwide compared to its massive budget of $35 million. So yeah, great news for A24 here. Civil War looks like it will pay off. It will return a profit. I would presume so, at least. It really depends on the international box office at the end of the day for this one. The only thing that I have worrying is that, sure, it's going to have a great opening weekend. In fact, if it is projected to be $26 million, it will jump into the top 10 A24 movies domestically. Total. Not weekends, just total, which is just insane to just immediately jump into the top 10. So, yeah, purely based on that, it's a great opening. But the only thing I worry about is legs for this movie and how, like, I guess how well it can continue its run. And I'm torn because I do believe this movie, it's controversial, and it shouldn't be controversial in my opinion, because the movie has no political stance, but Americans love to be political and they're just really into it and extreme. So they'll take, like, people taking offense to this movie. So the controversy could make other people go and see it to see what all the talk's about, or what the conversation really is all about. It can just be the negativity can just really wash over everyone, and people don't want to waste their money going to go see this. It got a B minus cinema score, which isn't great, but it could be one of those ones or those, situations where it actually makes people go and see it because they just want to go see what all this fuss is about. I mean, I don't know if you saw a comment on our TikTok video. That guy, he's like, oh, two NPC normies talking up some program media.
I saw that, and I was like, NPC, non-playing character? Okay.
It's just like, oh. And then you go into
the video game.
Yeah, you go into his profile, and it's like, Canada has fallen. It's just like some political nut.
Shout out to Canada has fallen.
So yeah, I mean, it really depends on how people react to this. Yeah, it's hard to predict, you know, Americans and their politics. I hope that people can just, like, separate themselves from the movie. The movie is about war journalism and how, I guess, war dehumanizes you in a sense. So people can separate that, then this movie should be able to have good, solid legs, but clearly people aren't like that, which is fine. That's them, not me. Yeah, but what about you? What do you think about this being a huge hitter for A24?
It did catch me by surprise. I mean, you know, you've had bangs like Everything Everywhere All at Once, where it's more appealing to the mainstream sort of audience, you know, just in regards to the super sci-fi sort of elements to it. This, I guess, is a little bit more niche. It's more A24-y in regards to it's based on a particular thing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing much to grab someone, an audience towards, apart from Civil War. So I am glad it's doing really, really well, because it's a fantastic film and it should be doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. And we did, reason why it's doing so well is because we said to everyone to go see it, and they clearly have listened to us. But no, it's good. Just the fact that it's going to like absolutely smash the opening weekend for A24 films as well is just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing but positive things to say this. Whether the word of mouth is good or controversial or negative, people are still putting their butts in seats to watch it.
Mm. Really. Well, the highest grossing film for A24 domestically is $77 million. That was Everything Everywhere All at Once. And that just had so much positivity, really good legs. And then, you know, the Oscars came around the year after and I think they re-released it, got on more. Could it beat $77 million, you think? Given the divisive reaction to this film?
No, I don't think it can. Mm. I think it'll just leg out or like die out. I don't think it has the legs in it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be relevant for a couple of weeks and then it'll just poof away.
Yeah. The second one is Uncut Gems at $50 million. I think it's going to be close with that one, but it could definitely get to number two spot domestically. I'm really curious to see what how international audiences react to this because it's, you know, it's centered around, you know, American politics and American Civil War. Does the rest of the world really care about, you know, a film of this nature? That's really what I want to know. But I guess we'll find out.
That's true. You guys down below, let us know. You guys watching, let us know down below how well you think Civil War will go. And if you think it's a film that you want to go see multiple times, yeah, just head down, let us know. All right, now we're going to quick fire questions. This is why it's James's segment.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah, everything. So pretty much here, I or James or we give each other the most ridiculous, stupidest scenarios in the movie industry, and we pretty much, you know, ask a question, and then James will have to answer it. Whether seriously or non-seriously, it's completely up to him. I have shared my screen with James, and I hope you can see it.
I can.
It's my first time sharing on a little screen. Oh, awesome. That is great. All right, James, you can see what's in front of you. I'm sure you're thinking, what the hell is happening? And I'm sure you viewers will be able to see this as well. So the first question is, what would happen if Sherlock Holmes teamed up with Harry Potter to solve a magical murder mystery at Hogwarts?
Oh, gosh. Well, it would instantly be solved. You know, Sherlock Holmes is doing his duty, and he is the best. He doesn't care if magic's there. He can see through any, you know, invisible enchantment or any kind of defense they do. He can just see right through that. He knows it. He can see everything. He's got that memory, and he just notices every detail. And then you got Harry Potter, and what's he? He's the muscle to this. You know, if they come against some traps that Sherlock Holmes needs to get through to really uncover this mystery, Harry Potter will go in there and destroy everything. He will make sure that Sherlock Holmes can safely navigate this mystery, and then they can find out what it is all about. And that would be a great movie. We need this crossover, honestly. Yeah.
Who do you think did the murder? I'm picking Draco.
Nah, Draco's too obvious, and Draco is—he's a product of his parents, which is—he's had a sad life. I'm going with Ron. You know, his son didn't make the Quidditch team, and he gets angry and he goes on a murder spree through Hogwarts.
That's a lot more believable, actually. All right, next question. Imagine a world where dinosaurs roam the streets of New York City. How would the original MCU Avengers handle this prehistoric situation?
Well, how would they handle it? I think they would team up, absolutely. They would be on the same team for this one. But I would say that they're all going to ride these dinosaurs into battle. Gives them a little bit more of force behind them. Makes them a little bit more terrifying. You know, Hulk is he's a dinosaur in his own right. But imagine him on a T-Rex coming at you. Those Chitauri in New York City, man, they're going to go back up into their wormhole. They aren't coming down if there's dinosaurs here. You can't, the Avengers you might be able to beat, but with dinosaurs, you just can't do it. And unless the situation is where it's locusts instead of the dinosaurs, then that is when the Chitauri might actually dominate. But yeah, no, I mean, this is just an unstoppable force. If Thanos saw what was on Earth and it was dinosaurs and Avengers, there'd be no Infinity War Endgame. The Endgame is the dinosaurs.
So you're thinking the Avengers would befriend the dinos and bring them on their team?
Oh, 100%, they would. And the dinosaurs would be on their team. I mean, just look at that dinosaur. You know he's ready to team up with somebody. See it in his eyes.
Imagine Cap riding a T-Rex into battle. Insane.
Oh, it'd be too good. It'd be too good. It's unstoppable. It's just unstoppable.
All right. Next one is... Imagine a scenario where... You're laughing already. So the minions from Despicable Me, they become secret agents. And they are tasked with saving the world from a banana-stealing thief villain. How do you think they would go... Or how do you think their secret agentness would go in this situation? And do you think they'll be successful in completing their task of capturing this banana thief?
No. I don't think that. They wouldn't be successful at all. Not something like this. The minions aren't built to handle serious tasks. They're great backup sidekicks. They come through in an absolute emergency. But you can't put them in the lead. I know the Minions movies have made a lot of money, but you cannot put them in the lead. Not for something where the world's banana supply is at stake. You know, if the Minions are tasked and are becoming secret agents, we're going to run out of bananas, dude. This guy's going to steal everything. And the Minions, what are the Minions going to do? You know, once this banana, he's probably going to steal the Minions by accident. Look at them. They look like bananas. But yeah, no, honestly, the Minions don't stand a chance. Even if they come together as one big unit, all they're going to be doing is doing little fart sounds and giggling and little punches to each other. No, don't make them secret agents. Do not put them in charge to save our banana supply. We need bananas. We need that potassium in our lives. Minions cannot save this.
But do you not think that their love for bananas will be able to knuckle down and get the task because they also love bananas?
No, not if they're not getting paid enough money.
So Gru needs to start emptying out his wallet a bit more.
I still don't think they could do it. You know, the banana thief, I can see the picture right there. It's just, how do you stop that?
You can't. I mean, this guy looks like as if he like carries a knife inside the peel. Just peel it back and stab you. Alright, next question. Goody here. So what if Batman swapped places with Spider-Man for a day? How would Gotham City fare under Spidey's web-slinging protection?
So we're talking about how Gotham would be under Spidey or how New York would be under Batman or both?
Gotham under Spidey. How do you think Spider-Man will fare under the crime and corruption of Gotham City?
Well, Gotham's crime would go in a day, I think. You know, Spider-Man's a lot more... capable and stronger and better in every single way. Not exactly. Spider-Man, I mean, people would laugh at him. They think he's goofy. You know, that aesthetic, the red and blue thing, people just wouldn't take it seriously. I think crime would have a massive boom. And then he starts actually, like, fighting and, you know, getting involved in, like, oh, shit, like, we cannot mess with this guy. This guy's legit. He's strong. He shoots webs, that's gross and weird. You know, I think crime would spike up massively, but then it would drop incredibly. But it really depends on what version of Spider we get. Do we get this darkened one, like Bruce Wayne, or do we get the quippy one? I think that really determines everything at the end of the day. Gotham's not a place for smiles. It's not a place for happiness. I think Peter Parker, a week in Gotham, I think he would go dark. I think he would be... You know, that really, the really darkened character who just doesn't have much inside him. And then does he get a little bit dark, a little bit feisty with his villains? If so, if he goes a little bit into that Bruce Wayne persona, I don't know. I think he would do really great things in terms of the crime just because everyone would be fearful of a dark Spidey. But if he's like goofy and like a little Deadpool guy, then yeah. Scarecrow's just going to have a field day with him.
Yeah. Well, luckily they're only swapping places for a day, so...
I guess we're okay, for a day. I mean, I forgot about that part. That's some crucial information. Oh, if it's for a day, and if Spidey knew the task in front of him, he could do really good things. And far better than what Batman could.
Next question.
He doesn't like that answer.
And the last question as well. In an alternate universe, Darth Vader and Thanos join forces and make an unlikely alliance. How would the galaxy tremble under these two juggernauts?
Do the universes collide? Is Star Wars in MCU?
Sure.
Sure. Well, I don't know. I don't think Darth Vader's a formidable force. If he brings everything like the Empire and stuff, then it gets a little bit scary. But Darth Vader on his own, how can he compare to Thanos? And if we're talking Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos is the one pictured here. You know, he's not that much of a threat. He's like a great what are Thanos's guys, like the Horsemen or his?
Yeah, the four Horsemen.
I think that's Apocalypse, but yeah, I don't know what they're called. Yeah, he would just be another one of them, honestly. Like, anyone could beat Darth Vader in the MCU. Well, not anyone, but like, you know, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, they could beat him. I think, maybe.
Even with his Force abilities, I mean, he can just literally stop people with the Force.
Yeah, but they're strong.
He's strong as well. He can still stop them and crush them.
Could he crush them, though?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. We haven't seen much of, like, live-action Darth Vader go just insane. Yeah, I think he could probably beat Iron Man because he could crush the metal on him. But, yeah, if you're talking about, like, the Avengers versus Darth Vader, it's a pretty easy contest, in my opinion. Because he'd be very similar to that other Thanos guy, you know, the one who can... telekinesis, he can move things in Infinity War. They beat him pretty easily. I think they could beat Darth Vader pretty easily. You know, just take the lightsaber off him. I mean, yeah. Iron Man would just make a lightsaber.
What if he brings the Empire?
I don't know. If he brings the Empire, I still think that they could be taken down. It's just an extra ally to Thanos. I mean, you look at Endgame, they had all the ships there. Captain Marvel just flew right through all those ships. She could fly through a few more. Death Star, no problem. She'll fly right through that. She will just go and walk right in and throw that missile down into the chute where it destroys the Death Star. I don't think this is a problem for the Avengers, but Thanos, I mean, he's the formidable one. If they both had Infinity Gauntlets, then... it's game over. Universe is done. It's cooked, fried. There's no stopping that.
Definitely not. If they both had Infinity Gauntlets, I would actually be shitting in my pants, that's for sure. All right, guys, let us know what you think about the quickfire questions. I hate that title. I'm just going to call it QQQ whenever I do this. If you have any QQQ questions, let us know down below, and we might actually be able to bring it into life on our future poddy. All right, so I mentioned earlier about saving your drinks. This is where we... I hope the sound captured that.
I didn't hear it.
Just in case it didn't. This is when you crack open your cold one, and we're getting into the main event of this podcast. And the main event is our top 10 DreamWorks animation films. Now, our top 10 is defined as James and I's favorites, not what we think is the best films, mm-hmm. Our favorite films. Obviously, 1 to 10, James will say his top 10 first, mm-hmm. And then it's on to me. I say out my top 10, and then we will criticize each other of whether it's a good list or a bad list. I feel I'm going to get a bit criticized for some of my choices here, but we'll have to wait and see.
Hey, so, James. You might get criticized. You might criticize mine as well. So
that's true. Bad guys number one. Let's go.
Don't do that. But yes, remember, this is my favorite, guys. So if you have a problem with it, comment below. Tell me about it. I want to hear your favorites as well. But you can't really say it's wrong because it is my favorite. It's not your favorites. And these are a mix of just things that I enjoy, things that I can rewatch easily, and are things that kind of mean a lot to me in a personal regard. So I'll go through it. I guess we will start then, eh? All right, so top 10 DreamWorks animation. We'll start off with 10. So, man, I got The Croods, A New Age, the second Croods, and I think this primarily goes back to our experience with the movie. I think it was a heavy COVID time, wasn't it, when this film came out?
To be honest, I completely forgot. This feels like 10 years ago to me.
But yeah, no, I think it was a COVID time. We hadn't really been to the movies that much. Me, Nan, Kyan, you know, we went to the screening. We didn't really expect much from it, but I think we arrived late and all we had was the beds. Like, I don't know if you guys have like a cinema around you that have beds, but at the front of the cinema, there's beds. And we arrived a couple minutes late to the screening. Every seat gone, just one bed between three of us. And we sat there and we watched it. And the movie itself, it's entertaining, it's fun. And we just had a ton of laughs. It brought a ton of memes between us. And it's just, it's left a really great memory for me in terms of just the movie itself being entertaining, but also that memory with the lads. So that's why it's number 10. I could not get rid of it, even though I did fight for some other movies to be on here. At number 9, I got Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. Madagascar franchises, I think it's a pretty mid franchise. I think the movies are all good, but they're not great. None of them's really great. I would say Madagascar 3 is the best one from them. And I think it just has a ton of you know, really great moments in it. It's a lot of fun. It's the comedy works. I think it's probably, yeah, the best. It's my favorite, so there you go. At number 8. We have Megamind. People might not like Megamind, maybe not after that TV show that released that came out to horrendous reviews, but Megamind the movie, I think it was just really good. It's about, you know, the villain becoming the hero with that story. And, I mean, I just thought it was just a really fun movie. I've rewatched it maybe, you know, 10 to 15 times throughout my lifetime. I love the movie. It's just a ton of fun. And the comedy really, really works in it. At number 7, I got Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Another great memory with the lads. This is one where we came in and we did not expect much from this. In fact, I think me, Nan, and Kyan were all like a little bit hesitant to even come to that screening. You know, Sunday morning, we're like, oh, okay, let's just go. And so we went, and I think all three of us are glad that we did, because this movie turned out to be a very surprising delight. It's super funny. There's so much memes between us three. And the story itself is just good. However, I did watch it recently, and it's not as great as I remembered in terms of the movie quality itself, but I think one of the big pluses for this movie is the villain. The villain is terrifying. I absolutely love him. We need more of that villain around. All right. Number 6, Nayan. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. So this is the third one. And I don't know how high or how highly regarded the third one is, but it's one that I like quite a lot. In fact, the screening that I went to, it was like in the start of January, and the movie came out at the end of March. And then the 20th Century Fox, like president for New Zealand, was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're the first in the world to see this. And we're like, whoa, okay. So that was an incredibly early screening, and I'm glad we were, because this movie is really, really good. I think it caps off the trilogy really well. The departure between Hiccup and Toothless is just, it's emotional, it's well-meaning. I think it can easily be translated to real life about moving on, all that kind of stuff. So that one hit me deep in the feels, and it capped off a really, really great animated trilogy. So I got it there. So that is my 6 to 10 so far. Nayan, do you know where I'm going with my top 5 here? Do you think I know where I'm going?
I definitely know your top 3. I just don't know what in order. But I could be... I don't know what 4 and 5 could be. I'm looking at my own list. Oh, okay, I think I know about 4. Okay. I know 4.
That's 4. In interesting. All right, at number 5, we have Kung Fu Panda 2. Kung Fu Panda 2, I've watched the Kung Fu Pandas very recently, right before the fourth one, and yeah, Kung Fu Panda 2 is brilliant. It's not as good as the first, spoiler alert, for this list, but it's not as good as the first one. I think it just gets a little bit more goofier, but it keeps that heart, it keeps, you know, those really powerful themes in it, and it just it furthers Poe's character really well. The comedy in it is still as good, not as great. So, yeah, a really well-done movie there. So number four, that goes to Kung Fu Panda now. Kung Fu Panda is brilliant. I think the comedy in that movie is... oh, it's got to be one of the best for an animated movie. It's hilariously funny. I've watched the movie so much, and I rewatched it this year, and I still laughed a ton. It's really, really... it's just done so well, and it's also quite meaningful to the character and his journey and how you can take away in our own lives. I think, yeah, it's just... it's super, super well done, and there's a little bit more seriousness to it, where Poe's not a complete idiot. So, yeah, it's got way more heart in it. All right. Number three, How to Train Your Dragon, the first one. Okay, so How to Train Your Dragon. I love this movie just so much. I think it's just, it's a really unique concept. It works so well. I love, you know, the animation, the relationship between Hiccup and Toothless and how that kind of comes. I think it has, you know, amazing, like, animation. Just the way it looks, man, real visually well done. The score in it is incredible. I listen to that one quite often. So, yeah, How to Train Your Dragon's really up there. It's just, I think, yeah, really a good feeling movie for me. And I think the top two are fairly obvious. Tanayan, I don't know about you guys listening, but at number two, I have Shrek 1. I mean, Shrek 1, I believe...
I wasn't expecting that. I almost choked on my drink.
Shrek 1 is 23 this year. It's hard to believe that this is 23 because I remember when this movie first came out in cinemas. Like, I remember being there, and I think I was like 5. Well, 5 years old. I was 5 years old, and I still remember it. That's how, like, vivid these Shrek movies are to me, and how kind of meaningful they are to my life. I remember getting really angry at mum. Like, I wanted to see Lord of the Rings, man. I was like, no, I don't want to see Shrek. What even is Shrek? Like, I want to see Lord of the Rings. That looks cool as. And then we saw Shrek, and I'm like, oh, wow, that was so cool. Like, Shrek's just amazing. You know, it's super funny. It's creative in how it brings fairy tales into it. Just, you know, a ton of fun. Really great characters. You know, Donkey, Shrek, Fiona. It all just works really, really well. It's endlessly rewatchable. A Shrek 1, I might have watched this maybe at least 25 times, dude, like in that time frame. It's just, yeah, it's so good. All right, number one.
It's more than once a year.
Pardon? What?
More than once a year.
Yeah, man, like when it first came out, I watched it a few times, yeah. Being a kid and all that. All right, number one, Shrek 2. I mean, I'm sure you saw this one coming, man. You know my love for Shrek 2 is deep. It is great. I think it did better than the first one. It's a better story. It expands the world far better. You got Far, Far Away. You got all that stuff there. Puss in Boots gets introduced. It's a great, great character to have a part of it. But ultimately, it's like, I don't know if it's more heartfelt than the first one, but the comedy is a lot better. It's a great, you know, action adventure that's just keeps the same magic that Shrek had. I remember being in line, waiting in line in 2004 when it came out. I was so hyped for this one. I was not complaining to my dad to go see another movie because I had fallen in love with the Shrek movies. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see Shrek 2. But yeah, those two Shrek movies, man, they're just so good. They're so, I guess, they're meaningful to me and my childhood. We always have those movies that are quite, you know, deep to us from when we're children. And Shrek is one of them. That's why when Shrek 5... does officially get announced, I don't know much movies that could beat it for number one most anticipated. I don't know. I can't think of much examples. All right. I'll hand off the baton to you now, mate. You run through yours, critique mine.
Yeah, you're fully going to get triggered over mine. Eh?
Oh, really?
But this is favorites, so...
favorites can be wrong.
That's true. And nah. I think number 10 is going to be wrong. All right. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Number 10 is Shark Tale.
I can get it's behind that. Smith. That's all right.
Jack Black one. Yeah. I just remember, I think it was early teens when I was in intermediate. So that's 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
13 years old for you Americans that don't know what
yeah, 12.
Intermediate is.
Yeah.
it was one of the films I always used to watch. You know, my dad got it on, I think, DVD back then. And it was like the first DVD I had. And obviously I could play it on my OG Xbox. So that's all I was doing, you know, the big square Xbox.
Yeah.
So that and Back to the Future were pretty much the two films I was just rewatching consistently on the Xbox. And I just came to love Shark Tale. Like, if I watched it now, I'd probably think Shark Tale is piece of shit. But one thing I do remember about it is that the comedy was fantastic. As a little kid, I was just pissing myself laughing. And I really liked the voice chemistry between Will Smith and Jack Black. I think they were absolutely hilarious together. So that is why it's my number 10, more personal, similar to your Croods one as well. How it was a bit more personal.
Yeah.
Personable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. My number 9 is How to Train Your Dragon Hidden World, the third one. You capped it off nicely. You know, it's probably the How to Train Your Dragon franchise is probably one of the best franchises ever made. I feel every trilogy nowadays is getting into that status, and it just goes to show how good quality films are being made. And this is one of them, especially from an animated standpoint. And you touched upon it before, you know, the relationship between Hiccup and Toothless, what they went through in the first two movies, and how this one resulted is similar to you and I, you know, how I had to let you go over to Australia. So that would make me Hiccup in this situation, you Toothless. and then your partner is a white dragon.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it
worked. So, yeah. Oh, didn't even think about it.
There you go. I just said it. Getting emotional now.
Number 8 is How to Train Your Dragon number 2.
Oh.
I think this is an absolute fantastic sequel to the first one. And it had a massive emotional moment that, you know, when you watched it, you just were like, I haven't seen something this emotional since Lion King, you know? Like, it's very rare that you get this sort of stuff in animated films, unless it's Pixar. So that was one of my big things, and especially Toothless coming up against like a formidable villain as well. So, but for main one for me is just that emotional moment. Can I spoil it? No, I won't spoil it. It's just that emotional.
It's an old movie, bro. You can spoil it.
Oh yeah, Hiccup's dad dies.
Yeah,
and he also like finds his mother as well, and then his father died, so he found his parent that he's searching for, and then his parent that he knew for his whole life ended up dying. So that was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Poor kid. All right, number 7 is Mega Mind.
Oh, wow. Didn't you just rewatch it watched for the first time recently? I feel like I remember you telling me one day, like, oh yeah, I watched Mega Mind for the first time.
No, not for the first time. I rewatched it for the first time in a long time.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think I watched it like 2021, and that was my first time seeing it since it came out.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
Love it. It's great. It's a meme for a reason, you know? It's so good. Is Sacha Baron Cohen the voice actor for Megamind? I can't remember.
Is it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember, yeah.
But like, When rewatching it, it was a very similar sort of tale to The Incredibles, you know, like a younger superhero looking up towards someone and then eventually turning bad, and then the good guy turns bad, you know, so they have that similarities, except Megamind wasn't afraid to, you know, just make a fool of himself and try be as angry and villainous as possible when deep down he's a good guy. No comments from you. I'm sure I know exactly a person that's like that. So yeah, Megamind is in at number 7. Number 6 is How to Train Your Dragon, the first one. That one, you know, it started all. It started probably one of the greatest animated franchise ever, next to Toy Story. It's right there. It's a fantastic story of a guy wanting to make change within his own culture, and how they perceive a particular creature, and this creature just struggling to trust a human after all they do to his creatures, and they eventually come together and win over the entire tribe, city, village, community. And they all just fall in love with dragons and see them as friends, not foes. So it's just a real good story, pretty much told in an hour and a half as well, which is really, really rare. Number five is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. I'm still waiting for my 4K version so I can rewatch it at Amazon. You keep damaging it. Ordered it twice, so don't damage it the third time. I'm waiting. I want to watch it again. You said, especially now after that, you said that you rewatched it and it wasn't as good as you first thought.
Mm.
So that's another reason why I want to really rewatch it now. But that first time, you know, like, that wasn't, we didn't go see a kids film. We saw a horror. the kids we watched it in the cinema with were literally screaming in fear. And sometimes it gets annoying, but in this time it just elevated the movie going experience, because James Kine and I were screaming in fear over the wolf. Like, that dude is scary. This film is literally carried by that one bloody stupid wolf. And the dog, because before the film, we have a thing called the neigh, and James and Kyan were both like, neighing as death's the dog. And it's like, why am the dog for? Like, that's like the most obvious stupid one. And it's like, it is. We watched the film, and there's scenes of him wanting to rub his belly. There's a scene of him just absolutely, like, swearing, but it's all censored out. And then after the movie, I was like, yeah, I am.
That's me.
Rub belly for good luck.
Stop.
Number four is another childhood one of mine. There's a viewer over in the UK that would appreciate this, because this is a meme between him and I, and he was with me whenever we watched this, and that's The First Madagascar. Really love that film. You know, you said that the second one was probably the third one was the best one out of the three. I have the opposite view. I think the original is just the best, you know, just in terms of these zoo animals getting exposed to the wildlife for the first time, and then just pretty much their relationship group just absolutely going chaotic and breaking down. It created so many memes within my family and friend group as well, in regards to, you know, Maurice and stuff like that. Like, we would just quote it every time we hung out together. We'd watch this and then go do something else. So yeah, this one is a real big personal one of mine, and that's why it's in at number four. So no judgments. Number three is Shrek 2.
Oh god.
So you
carry on.
I told you. So you touched upon it before. It was really, really great. I mean, how do you capture the magic of the first Shrek? And that's by bringing in the fairy godmother and Prince Charming. And everything from there is amazing. You know, even the soundtrack is amazing from, I think the song's called I Need a Hero at the end of the third act.
Yeah.
You know, Shrek wanting to become more human so he can relate to Fiona a bit more as well. And just everything about that film is fantastic. So it's probably a great sequel, probably one of the best sequels of all time as well.
Yeah.
Number two is Kung Fu Panda, the first one. I just love that movie so much. I find it so funny. I think Jack Black is great, and it's probably the one film that makes me crave dumplings every single time I watch it. I probably watch it four or five times. Five out of five times, I have to go get dumplings after, the day after. And I have to re-watch it before I watch the fourth one. Gonna get some dumplings. I'm one ahead of the game. Gonna get some dumplings while I watch.
Nice. But
yeah, I just find it I find it absolutely fantastic, and just how the story of, like, pretty much a nobody, or, like, you know, someone that you wouldn't think to be the superhero or the chosen one, becoming the chosen one, him doubting himself, and then eventually, you know, saying that, yeah, I can do this job and I can do it.
Yeah.
And rising to the, oh shit, dropped my pen. And rising to the occasion, you know, is just awesome.
There is no secret ingredient, bro.
It's just you. It's what's inside of you. Masa Ugwe, man. That guy's a bloody G.
I love that character so much. Yeah.
He had a screen time for like 5 minutes, and it's just the most wisdom I've ever heard in my life, you know. God, that guy is just goated.
He's so
Make
good.
Him a knight. Make him a knight already. Like, first animated character to become a knight.
Sir Ugwe.
Sir Master Ugwe. Sounds good too. And number one is your number two, Shrek, for me. I mean, you know, Whose house is it? It's Shrek's. When it comes to DreamWorks, he's the one that really put DreamWorks on the map and stuff like that. And look what the Shrek franchise has spawned, you know, memes, laughs, four films and spin-off films as well. Like, the soundtrack to it is absolutely fantastic. Shrek is me, you are Donkey, for obvious reasons. It's just, you know, like, so you can just make memes out of anything, you know. It's just great. And, like, the the character dynamic between both Shrek and Donkey is quite underappreciated sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best, you know, relationships in animated films or films together. They might not like each other or they might get annoyed, but they're still, like, there for each other.
Yeah.
Every single time, no mm-hmm. matter what.
Yep.
And it's just, yeah, full of laughs, smash mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, how can you beat Shrek?
So iconic. So iconic.
Exactly. So, any comments on my list?
Oh, off your list. Yeah, Shrek 2 being 3 is criminal. Criminal. There's no way that that movie deserves to be that low. I'm being generous there. Kung Fu Panda, it's great. It's not better than Shrek 2. So I mean,
favorite
like,
that.
Yeah, I know it's favorite, but if I was doing it, so I didn't really expect Kung Fu Panda to beat the Shreks. I thought Shrek 1 and 2 would be at the top, but I mean, still top 3 at least. Yeah, but now everything's just kind of in line with what I thought. I know you'd have Puss in Boots High, the Kung Fu Panda. I'm surprised Kung Fu Panda 2 never made it. Only one Kung Fu Panda, right?
Yeah. I was doing the list and originally it was like Shrek 1, 2, Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, 3, and then How to Train Your Dragon 1, 2, 3. And I was like, nah, this can't be it. So I actually like looked at it properly and I was like, oh, I remember Kung Fu Panda 2, but I don't remember it well enough.
Right,
so,
right.
So yeah. I ended up leaving. So that's the way I worked through those films. It's like, I know it should be here, but I just don't remember enough to like give a justifiable or a justifiable reason
right
and explain it
yeah
so I had to get rid of it
no but, that makes yeah. sense yeah I mean the last I debated having Madagascar on mine the first one because I do love that movie but I just couldn't put it above like Croods or anything like that it was just yeah it was too hard Kung Fu Panda 3 was considered Over the Hedge was a big one that I wanted in there
I was thinking yeah. I was also considering The Road to El Dorado as well
yes I wrote that one down
well.
Too yeah I like
El I wrote Dorado. That one down I wrote that one down and then I was about to join the podcast and I was like, why do I need to say it? Like, I know it's a great film, but I can't explain it well enough because I haven't seen it in ages.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of it.
That was my exact reasoning too. I'm like, I know I love the movie. I just can't. Yeah, I haven't seen it in like decades. So yeah, I couldn't put it down because I couldn't speak on it really.
And I really hope DreamWorks gets on the 4K bandwagon. I'd love to see Madagascar and Kung Fu Panda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got How to Train Your Dragon, but even Shrek, just the whole series coming out in 4K.
Yeah,
Shrek 1 has. I think Shrek 2, they might do it for the 20th anniversary. Just drop it all at once, man. Come on.
I know. That needs to come out this year then because it's 20th anniversary for it. Oh, they just need to do it. I have the first Shrek on 4K Steelbook. Why wouldn't you do the second one at least? I don't really care about the third or fourth one that much. I knew they wouldn't be on your list. But is How to Train Your Dragon, is the entire trilogy on your list? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, impressive. Yeah. Yeah. But no, besides Shrek 2 being at third, no major quarrels. I'm happy for Shark Tale. I'm glad the bad guys didn't make it. All is well with me, lad.
It was a bit of a fight for that number 10 spot between Sharky and the Bads.
I don't know if you're being serious or not.
No, it wasn't. I was like, when I put Shark Tale, I was like, I'm either going to get roasted or he's going to agree. And you agreed. I was like, yeah.
Nah.
All right. That's our top 10 DreamWorks animated films. Let us know what you think about our top 10s individually in the comments below. And be sure to drop your top 10s as well. We'd like to know and see what you think of whether Shrek 2 should be at 3 or it should be at number 1, like James. Let us know. All right, that will do us on the Let's Be Real podcast for today. Hope you've all enjoyed today's fun little show. If you want to watch more, head over to YouTube, click on our channel at Movie Gains, and be sure to hit that thumbs up for the like for all of our videos and that subscribe button as well. We would appreciate it a lot. And if you want to hear us rather than see us, I understand, head over to Spotify or wherever you pod from and just listen to us, you know, the mayhem we get into. Over there, and be sure to let us know about any topic you want us to discuss, any games you want us to play, any questions for QQQ that you want us to answer. Head over to Instagram or X at Movie Gains and let us know. Thanks, everyone. Tune in next time. We're Movie Gains. See you later.
Peace.